welcome to episode 21 of the Sal Licata Show podcast. You know what? Let me try that again. Hello and welcome to episode number 21 of the Sal Licata Show podcast. And I happened to read a comment last night from YouTube. You know, sometimes it's nice to hear what people say, and most are pretty supportive, and sometimes people give criticism, which is fine too. But somebody was saying something about my lack of enthusiasm in comparison to maybe when I was on The Fan or when I'm on SNY. Dude, it's a totally different thing, first of all. Second of all, I am enthusiastic about it. What more do you want? What more do you want? If people, stop yelling, then you're not enthusiastic enough. I mean, it's been 21 episodes. Let it breathe, for goodness sakes. It's the Sal Licata Show podcast. Welcome to episode 21. I wanted to start with the quarterbacks and free agency, because there's been some talk about Derek Carr. Now, we haven't touched this yet this week. I know they touched it on The Fan. I was reading some stuff. I guess Evan did a good job with this, bringing the podcast to light that Derek Carr did, and about him maybe dropping some seeds or some crumbs into where he would go next, and talking about how he liked Garrett Wilson and liked Aaron Glenn. Here's what I'd say about Derek Carr as it pertains to the Jets. Derek Carr stinks, and I'd want no part of him if I am the Jets. Figure out another option. Here's the enthusiasm. How many times do we have to go through this with the Jets? It's the same thing all the time. Can't draft and develop a quarterback, so you're going to go try to get another one who's old and washed up. They did it with Aaron Rodgers. I didn't want Derek Carr back then. I certainly don't want him now. He wasn't good at his peak. Maybe putting up some numbers on occasion. He's not a winning quarterback, especially after a year off. Good God. There are better options out there. And I wouldn't force the issue in drafting a quarterback if I'm the Jets. Again, it doesn't mean I would not take one. I wouldn't force the issue in drafting a quarterback. Look at the other free agents, though. Derek Carr, my God. Like, guys, stop getting caught up in the names. The fantasy names. Why in the world would you want Derek Carr? I heard the same stuff about Justin Fields a year ago. Oh, Justin. I used to have this fight with BT. I'm like, bro, he can't throw the football. No, but Justin Fields, better situation. No, he can't throw the football. Okay? He can't throw the football. 2 weeks in, Justin Fields can't throw the football. Yeah, no shit. I told you that for a full offseason. And I like Justin Fields. So it's the same thing now. Oh, Derek Carr. No. Find somebody else. So even if you're looking for a stopgap quarterback, there are better options out there. Now, not many, but there are better options out there in free agency than trying to go down the Derek Carr road or even potential trade. I mean, whether it's Tua, whether it's Kyler Murray, both those guys would have me more excited than Derek Carr. And I'm not talking about future long term. I'm talking about just now. You don't know what's going to happen next year either in the draft. You don't know. You have to go aggressively find a quarterback. It's not just going to come to you. They're not going to tank and all of a sudden have the top pick and get Arch Manning. Like, it's not. What happens if the Jets do have the number one pick and Manning doesn't want to come here? Then what? So you can't plan to just, let's, sit a year. Let's wait a year and go bring in Derek Carr and then go from there. Carr's not the answer of the future. And most of these guys in free agency are not either. I mean, I wouldn't touch Daniel Jones. He's always injured, plus the New York thing. Malik Willis is a name that I saw come up yesterday. Some people got excited about it. And I saw Chris Sims say something about Malik Willis. Like, Chris Sims loves every quarterback. So now all of a sudden Malik Willis is going to be some lock. But at least Malik Willis is the right direction as opposed to Derek Carr, a young guy with potential and with extreme athleticism that maybe you could work with to win some football games. I mean, all right, a lot of the other options, Garoppolo, no thanks. Mariota, no thanks. Mac Jones, to me, would have been a good guy to go take a chance on, but they're not going to trade him. The other names are just, I mean, all right, there's nothing great, but certainly better than Carr. I wouldn't touch Carr at all. Honestly, even Russell Wilson, and I know he was awful with the Giants, for what the Jets are looking to do here, I'd rather go with Russell Wilson. He did some good things a year ago with the Giants. All right, nobody loved him after week two, after he put up ridiculous numbers in Dallas. It was, this guy can't play this game. It was never the Giants stink around him. It was always Russell Wilson's fault. Russell Wilson wasn't bad the year before with Pittsburgh. Just as good as Aaron Rodgers. All right, Rodgers maybe put up better numbers with Pittsburgh. They didn't go anywhere either. They get to the postseason and they fail in the postseason, and they won. Nobody ever really took them seriously either. So, I mean, I'd rather have one of those veteran guys. I'll take a chance on Malik Willis. Give me a veteran guy that can throw the football better than Justin Fields. Shouldn't be that hard to find. Russell Wilson, like I said, is one of them. Or go try and trade for Tua or trade for Kyler Murray, and then you at least have a decent quarterback. Derek Carr stinks. He always stunk, and I would never take a chance on him coming back after a year, regardless of what he says about potentially wanting to be here. Oh, well, the guy, he wants to be a Jet. I want the guys who want to be a Jet. That's pathetic. Start raising the expectations. Stop. Or just because somebody wants to be a Jet. Rodgers wanted to be a Jet too. And it wasn't his fault, but it didn't work out. I can't believe the Derek Carr fuss. Bada Booms, you're obviously a big Jet fan. What do you think about the Derek Carr speculation and talk, or even Malik Willis? Where are you at with the Jets quarterback situation here?
So you said that Malik Willis is a better option so confidently.
Yeah.
What's the difference
between... Why are you popping in the room
there? Oh, excuse me.
Yeah.
What's so different between Malik Willis and Justin Fields a year ago?
Well, I mean, I think Malik Willis is younger with some higher upside, bigger arm. Again, is he as accurate? No, but I think he's better throwing the football than Justin Fields. And at least you're taking a chance. I'm not saying that there's a huge difference in that. Okay, you don't want Malik Willis. Give me your guy.
No, the problem is with this,
Chris Sims, and I'm not saying that this is gospel. It's just Chris Sims' opinion. He was a former NFL quarterback. That's what he does. He, you know, evaluates all these guys. He was saying that he's putting Malik Willis almost ahead of Jordan Love. Now, I think that that's crazy talk. Like, legit, I think that that's crazy talk. But if you're going to compare Malik Willis in any way, shape, or form to Jordan Love, he's better than Justin Fields. He can throw the football better than Fields. And maybe he learned from being in Green Bay a little bit. You know, you have to hope. He came out of college with great expectations when the Titans had him. So, and I know Fields did similar too, but I don't know. Fields just couldn't throw the football. So I was not as sold. I'm more open to Fields, thinking that maybe there's something there, than I am Justin Fields. Where are you at?
Open than Fields to Fields.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm more open with Malik Willis than I was to Fields, and certainly to Derek Carr.
So up here says Willis, right? And I watched him play in Green Bay. Like, up here is saying Willis. The problem is
saying Willis, yeah.
With the Jets, this is always wrong. And then with the Jets, this is always wrong too, right? I have a little bit larger heart, so I'm a bit of a larger guy. Right. So in my head, I feel like, hey, this Malik Willis thing might be able to work because he was a winner with Green Bay. Am I wrong? Did he not? When he came in, he won with Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Matt Flynn stuff. I'm not like, you also have to remember, I'm not talking franchise quarterback here with Malik Willis. I'm saying of all those options right now, if you bring up the free agent list, if you bring up some of the quarterbacks who are available via trade, I would be okay with Tua. I would be okay with Kyler Murray. I'd be good with Malik Willis. I would not be good with Derek Carr. That's the last guy that I would want. Guy wasn't played, and he wasn't even good when he did play.
You make a great point with the Derek Carr thing. We're talking about winners and Malik Willis being a winner. Derek Carr, not a winner. Not a stat guy. He could do the stats. He could put up 4,000 yards and 35 touchdowns. Absolutely meaningless. Absolutely meaningless.
So do you want? If you, from a Jets fan perspective, you're a dire Jet fan, what do you want this year?
Do you want to draft somebody? I was thinking bridge. Take a flyer on a second round guy, but realistically, if they invest in a second round guy and he like plays three games at the end of the year and he's okay, is that going to hinder them from potentially taking a guy next year or trading up for a guy? It's not.
No.
Okay. So if that's the case, then Malik Willis. Chris Sims's word is kind of gospel to me. I feel like he happens to be right about quarterbacks a lot of the time, with the exception of Zach Wilson.
You have no interest in Carr.
What's the scenario? Because if it's a
don't overthink this. The scenario is the Jets need a quarterback. Derek Carr is hinting that he would want to come to the Jets. Would you want him? You want Kyler Murray?
Not really. No.
You want Tua Tagovailoa?
Absolutely not. He does not have the mental makeup to play.
Okay,
New York.
Now we're getting somewhere with you giving opinion. You want Daniel Jones? Is there somebody in particular in the draft that you want? I know you're the draft aficionado and you love this stuff. Is there anybody in the draft that you want?
I wanted Trinidad Shambliss until yesterday, and they announced that they granted him his 35th year in college. So that dream is dead. like, it, do I guess it's bad to say, because you're giving me this platform, which I'm grateful. I don't have a strong opinion on who I want. Like, there's nobody that's going to come in and it's going to reamplify how I feel. I worked myself into a shoot yesterday, Sal, or whenever they were, whenever, I know this is going to bite me in the ass. When Evan was talking about it, it juiced me up a little bit. All right. Nothing to do with Evan Roberts, but the way he presented the argument, and like when somebody starts,
okay.
When somebody starts glazing us and starts saying, like, I love the Jets and I love the Jet fans, like, you're talking to me like, oh, do you really? Do you really love us? Do you really love the Jet? Like,
I know, but why does that matter?
Nobody loves us, Sal. Yeah, you don't love us. You don't love us.
No, I'm fine with the Jets. I like the Jets. I tried to get behind Aaron Glenn. Everybody else wanted them out. I used to love the Jets with Parcells when he was running things. I love when teams do things the right way. The Jets can't be that. They haven't been that since they fired Eric Mangini and went with Rex Ryan. Even though they won those championship games, that was not the right thing to do. Those were Mangini's teams, and since then it's been downhill even more than that. Derek Carr, I don't care that he says he wants it. Like, how pathetic can you be? Oh, well, nobody likes us. Everybody rips us. So the one guy that wants to be here, let's take him. It was the same thing with Aaron Glenn. Oh, he's one of us. Who gives a shit? He's one of us. Where is he from? I don't care. Does he want to be a Jet? I don't care. Did he play with the Jets? No. Is he a good head coach? Is he a good quarterback? That's what I want. I want to see some decisiveness, some direction, and picking people who you think can help you win games. At least with Malik Willis, there's a chance that he could be a solid quarterback. With the other guys, there's more. And again, other guys, I mean some of the other free agents and Derek Carr. Derek Carr stinks. He stinks. You're doing the same thing you did with Aaron Rodgers. The difference is Carr isn't Rodgers. He's worse than Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you are right about that. He is worse than Aaron Rodgers. He's a lot of talk, Derek Carr. A lot of talk.
He stunk with the Raiders.
Did you see that clip at all?
Which clip?
Of him and his brother?
Of them talking?
Yeah.
No, I read it. That's what I was saying. I read the...
Oh, okay.
Like what Evan and Tiki had on their show when they were talking about. I read the stuff that he said.
The transcript, I think, will probably read different than the way those two are acting. Like, they're acting like Derek Carr is Aaron Rodgers when he went into the darkness all that time ago. It's like, he's saying, oh, I'm not just going to play for anybody. And he kind of hints at how he wouldn't go to the Vikings. And maybe the Vikings asked him earlier in the year and he said no. Like, dude, you're Derek Carr. Like, you're not Aaron Rodgers. You're not, I'm not even going to say that guy. I'm not even going to say Brady. He's awful. Mickey Mouse. But he's just talking way too much. Like, dude, calm down. You are Derek Carr. You're not going to be a savior for any franchise.
All right, who do you want?
I think today, on the 13th of February, 2026, I'm going to say Malik Willis.
Okay. I sold you on Malik Willis in 2 seconds.
No, you know who sold? Chris Sims sold me. Chris Sims is gospel.
All right. Before we... thanks, Bada Booms. Appreciate it. Before we get to our very, very special guest, I just want to get to a couple of things here. We brought up Castellanos to the Mets yesterday, saying that if he were to get released, I think he'd be a good fit. And I stand by that. He did, in fact, get released. And I was getting a lot of crap from people that I work with at SNY, from people on social media. Oh, why would you want Castellanos? Guys, you don't have to think that hard about it. Here's why I would want Castellanos. His floor is far better than Beatty, MJ Melendez, who wasn't even a big leaguer, and who's the third guy that they have? I can't even remember.
Tyrone Taylor.
Right, thank you, Bada Boom. Tyrone Taylor, who's a good serviceable backup. He's like a fourth or fifth outfielder. Beatty's not he's not an outfielder, and he's definitely not a right fielder. So he should be out. Melendez isn't a big leaguer, so he should be out. And Tyrone Taylor is a backup, so he should be out. So in the case that Carson Benj can't cut it, why in the world would you not want Castellanos? And let's not make it like he's a bad guy all of a sudden because he cracked a beer in the dugout. I mean, come on. I grew up in the 80s. I'm old enough to remember the 86 Mets, where if you drank a beer in the dugout, you'd be getting razzed for not being tough enough. One beer in the dugout, that's it. Look up what those guys were doing in the dugout. I mean, give me a break. And I know you're going back almost 40 years. I'm dating myself here, and I'm kind of, having fun with this thing. I wouldn't recommend drinking beer in the dugout. It's against the rules, and it's not a good look. But just put yourself in his perspective. He was embarrassed in his hometown with family members there, getting pulled out for defensive reasons. Rob Thompson, maybe he had an issue with him, and that's how he chose to respond. It wasn't the right thing. People make mistakes. I'm not going to hold it against him. He's not like he's a bad dude. I mean, wasn't Castellanos some kind of hero the year before or 2 years before with his son? So whether you think he's a good fit for the clubhouse or not, whatever, different story. I'm looking at it from The Mets may need a right fielder because they don't have any insurance for Carson Benj. Those three guys that we mentioned, Taylor, Beatty, Melendez, aren't insurance for Benj in case he can't make it, where maybe Castellanos could be, not to mention he could DH. All right. Without further ado, let's welcome in my very, very special guest, good friend, and really the woman of the hour, Danny Wexelman, who... Now, Danny, is it proper to say woman of the hour, or do I just say man of the hour as well? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to...
Yeah, how about, like, person? Just, like, so it covers everyone, and then I'm just the person. You like
it? Person of the hour, yes. Man, female, whatever pronoun, person of the hour, Danny Wexelman, who landed... Now, would you say this is a dream job, getting the sideline reporting for the St. Louis Cardinals, your hometown team?
I would say this is a dream job and above and beyond what anyone could imagine if you work in sports or you just work in a space where you could eventually work for a team or something that exists where you're from and where you grew up. Yeah. I mean, yes. If you're asking if I've cried multiple times, yes, I've cried, Sal, multiple times about this.
I love that. And you didn't tell me about that.
I
knew that this was coming because we talked a little bit before. I was obviously extremely happy for you, and I was hoping you just got one of those reporter jobs that you wanted, but the fact that it's the Cardinals, to me, was like, oh my God, because I know how much you love the Cardinals, being from St. Louis and all that, but I didn't know that you cried, and I guess I should have known, because I would have done the same thing too. I can't tell you how happy I am, truly, and I don't know if you saw my post on social media, and I mean this, today, because of this, I hate the Cardinals a little bit less.
Okay, wait, first of all, I am honored to be here, like truly honored. You're coming in hot. I'm literally just waking up. I haven't had coffee yet as we're recording this. Like, so it is what it is.
I've had coffee? I don't have any coffee ever.
No,
come on.
You don't drink coffee. I know. You just have like veins made of Energizer Bunny fuel. I understand that. You wake up like this. You don't need coffee. I'm so thankful that you're my friend. We've known each other for a decade. We've been friends and poking fun and talking ball for a long time. And you have to be a Cardinals fan and watch me now. So
I know. Well, to be honest with you, and I haven't even told you this yet, but now I'm like motivated to take a little road trip. And whether it's going to the Lou again or maybe following you around to meet in a different city, because you're going to be traveling. You got a nice schedule. You'll be traveling with the team. The majority. You have the amount of games that you're doing. Have you that yet? Or okay.
Yeah. So have I told you this?
I don't know. Go ahead. Give me.
Okay. I have 75 road games, so I have almost the whole road package where I'll host and sideline, and then I have 40 home games in St. Louis where I'll host. And there might be some reporting mixed in there a little bit, but primarily that's what my package is with them, which is...
Okay, so wait. So I did not know this, and I love getting into the specifics here. So you're doing both on the road, hosting what? Like the pregame?
Hosting pregame and then sideline during game, and then I'll do the postgame interview. I haven't gotten all of the details yet, but those are being worked out. We're having those conversations. But yeah, so if you want to come see me in... What city haven't you been to yet?
Like, okay, so I have 7 on my list.
Okay, let's hear that. Remind me. We talked about this.
Atlanta.
Okay.
Miami.
Yeah.
Tampa. Houston. The new Texas ballpark. And both LA.
Okay, so I have all California on the road. I have Houston, but it's early. It's probably too early. It's in April. Miami's also in April. Mm. I have Atlanta. That's later in the year. So maybe it's that one.
Okay.
And I can be there for moral support when you go down to the Battery and show your face to those fans.
Yeah, exactly. I might need you in Atlanta to help me out right there.
I'll be your bodyguard.
Okay. So host, pregame host, reporter, in-game, postgame interviews. That is just incredible. Are you excited? Now, okay, your reaction, crying. What about mom, knowing that D-Wex is coming home at least for part of the season?
Yeah, maybe for those who don't know, my whole family is in St. Louis. I was born and raised there, so my mom's still there. So my mom also cried and is still crying, I think, because, you know, Sal, I haven't been home in 13 years. I haven't lived in St. Louis since I was in high school. Like, right, I went to Mizzou, but I wasn't living at home unless it was the summer. So I haven't been home in a really long time, except to go home for holidays or some weddings or just every once in a while. Like, so it's extra days with my mom and my family, which you never really get. And I don't have to give up this dream of doing this job, right? I get to do both, which is like, what the heck is happening? What?
So you're keeping, because I was getting a lot of comments too after I posted on your social media. I said, oh, we're going to miss Danny. We're going to miss Danny. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a second. Nobody's going to miss Danny more than I am, but she's not leaving. You're not. Obviously, the schedules change in season, and that happens with a lot of people who are on Baseball Night in New York on SNY, where in season they're reporting, whether it's the Mets or whether it's the Yankees or whatever, and they're just on a little less frequently. So that'll be the case with you. You'll still be on when you come back to New York, and we love having you at SNY, so I wouldn't want it any other way.
I'm so glad you brought this up. I didn't get to clear the air yesterday. I was overwhelmed by such nice messages. I have a lot of people. My high school Spanish teacher reached out. My high school history teacher reached out. I have some texts to respond to, but I will still be doing SNY when I can with you guys. So I'm not going anywhere. And I'll be back in the fall. And then I'll have my radio show on Sirius XM. I'll still be doing that on Sunday. So the Cardinals have been really kind to me and also understand like all the other parts that go into this, but yeah, everything is status quo for the most part, but the Cardinals are my priority and will be my priority for the season, which is amazing. And what do you have?
Do you if the Cardinals win the World Series, do you get a World Series ring?
I don't know.
I think you do. You're kind of like a part of the team's broadcast now. I've heard that before. I'm jealous in the aspect when you say, okay, well, your hometown team, imagine that, and then working for that team. And like Andy Martino left SNY and he's working for the Mets. While I do a show on the Mets network, it's not for the Mets. And I started thinking like, man, imagine I worked for the team and they won the World Series and I got a ring for that. Like, you can't get any better from a fan's perspective. You should look into that. I maybe would have had that in my contract beforehand. Like, hey, if we win it all and I want us to win it all, do I get a ring or what?
You would say that. I don't know. I think, Sal, when you first get a new job, you can't be making big asks and demands like this. I think I've made some asks and they've been accepted and received, but you know, I think we have to like play it kind of cool in our first year. Respectfully, the Cardinals aren't going to win the World Series this year, but in 5 years, maybe we'll see. Sure, I don't know what's going to happen.
Are they? They're rebuilding this year or no? I don't even know.
Yeah, they are. They're retooling, I would say. It's going to be a young team. They're all under 30, but they'll be fine. It's a ton of fun, but I don't think this is the year. Respectfully,
are the Mets going to win the World Series this year?
The Mets can win the World Series this year. Don't you think so?
Where are you at? Yeah, I do. I'm not going to say that they're going to win it, but I do think that they have as good a chance as anybody else, and I know they'll make proper additions. Where are you at with Castellanos? You're much more in tune. Like, I always do it from afar. Obviously, I know some things, especially about the local teams, meaning like real insight.
Of course.
But you cover MLB. You have all these players on your radio show. You talk to a lot of people. You're always around. You cover in the World Series and all that stuff. So you're a lot more in tune than I am in that aspect. Castellanos, a guy to me that from afar seemed like a decent clubhouse guy. Now you're reading some of the stuff and where it went wrong a year ago. He comes out with that note. Would you go anywhere near Nick Castellanos if you're the Mets?
So I heard you talking. We talked about this on your show. And I've heard a lot of thoughts about it and I have my own. I think number one, if they really wanted to make this their plan, Sal, and move Juan Soto to left and open up right field it's kind of vulnerable offensively is what you're talking about, right? The defense should be fine. I genuinely think so. Offensively though, like Castellanos, 17 home runs, 72 RBIs, like the numbers are pretty good. He's not good defensively. Like the defense there stinks, but if they really wanted to do this, they should have been more intentional. They had a whole offseason to bring in someone who could have made that offense a little bulkier, backed up Carson Bench, been somebody who can help him. So, like, I don't feel like just because Nick Castellanos became available that they should just take him because he can hit the ball. And it's not really even because of what happened. And I heard an interesting take on this, which I think you'll find interesting and supports your idea. Eduardo Perez was talking about it this morning on MLB Network Radio. And he's like, you know, he's in Miami in front of his friends and family. He's never been benched for defense. He's never come out for a defensive replacement. They know who the player is. They know what his temperament is. And in front of his friends and family, you decide to replace him defensively. Yeah. And so you probably knew you might get a reaction. Now, does it mean you should be a crybaby about it? No, you've got to be a grown-up, right? You are a grown-up. You have a son, as you mentioned. Such a great story. You have to be a grown-up about it. But guys, come unwound. We're all human, right? So he apologized, and that's in the past. But I think that the Mets should have done something more intentional than see. Oh, Nick Castellanos. They knew Nick Castellanos, by the way, Sal, was available 3 months ago. Everyone knew the Phillies weren't going to bring him back.
Well, that's – That's why maybe I thought, and I'm not saying that the Mets had this plan. I have no idea. I just saw that he might be available, and it's like, ooh, now they need a right fielder. That's why maybe I thought when Stearns moved Soto to left, in part saying it makes our roster better, but now opening up right field, well, maybe you can find a right fielder better than you could have found a left fielder in the event Carson Bench can't cut it. It's a very fine line because you don't want to get somebody good enough who should be playing every day and block Bench, but you also want to make sure that in the event the rookie, the young kid, can't cut it at a spring training, there's a real chance he might not. He might not be good enough. And they're left standing there with Melendez, Tyrone Taylor, and Brett Beatty, none of whom are big league right fielders. That's my only thing.
I agree. No, I totally agree. And listen, Tyrone Taylor was playing center field for the Mets, and the Mets got the worst production offensively from the center field position last year of all 30 teams, right? They were bottom one, bottom two, like they were the worst. And so they do upgrade there if Luis Robert Jr. can stay healthy, and he's going to be able to cover ground. That's the point of the center fielder. Your corners are always going to be a little weaker in that regard. You hope that their offense comes through, but I think like, let's wait and see what Carson Bench can do in spring. And maybe Tyrone Taylor can pump something out. MJ Melendez, I actually have known MJ a long time, he and his whole family. And MJ's such a nice guy. He's definitely not the permanent solution or the guy who's going to provide that offense you need. But I'm not panicked about it yet, because I also know, Sal, like, look what they've added offensively. If those pieces stay healthy, I think it would be okay if Carson Bench banged 10 home runs. Like, that's okay. Give him a year to get used to it all and watch it pay off. It's not going to be the reason the Mets don't get to the World Series.
Yeah, I'm fine with that as well. I'm just looking to raise the floor a little bit and have some insurance. It was the one thing that I wanted before even they moved Soto to left. I wanted a little bit of insurance for Carson Bench.
Why didn't they just do it before Nick Castellanos became available? There are plenty of options.
Maybe there wasn't a great piece that fits that kind of in between, where Castellanos, even if he can't play right, he could DH, and I think he could be potentially better than Mark Vientos at DH.
Don't forget Polanco. Polanco's going to DH, Sal.
Well, he's going to be a great first. DH.
No, no, he's not. Brett Beatty's going to play first base.
Is this breaking news? Are you reporting this?
No.
Polanco, they said, I'm only going by what the Mets said. They said Polanco's going to be the first baseman.
He's going to play some first, but I bet you as the tides shift, he slots more into DH and Beatty's over at first.
So Beatty, Vientos a little bit at first. Still, they have a right field issue if it's not Carson Bench. And again, I don't think it's a huge deal. I just think that it's something that can make them a little bit better. All right, a couple more things that I want to hit with here with you. Let's stick with baseball for a second before we have some more fun and go outside the box. The White Sox traded, obviously, with the Mets. They acquire Acuna in the Luis Robert Jr. deal. Yeah. And then GM Chris Getz, on every interview that he's done since, refers to Acuna as a switch hitter. If you do it once and make a mistake, like, all right, it happens. Oh, the guy's a switch hitter. Like, we've all been there. I've screwed that up. I'm sure you've screwed something like that up. Yeah. Like, whatever. Now, he is the GM of a team acquiring a player. He probably should know more than maybe you or I. But this dude's done like four or five interviews. And in every interview, he's talking about how Acuna is a switch hitter when in fact he's not. Does Chris Getz know what the hell he's doing?
I think that he does. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he does. I don't know. Maybe he's in a daze from the offseason. Maybe he's trying to figure out all the new names and faces. Maybe he's confusing him with someone else on the team.
Yeah, I mean,
because he's got so many new guys.
But maybe that's GM. Have you ever interviewed Getz before? I'm assuming you've talked to him before.
You know what? I've actually never talked to Chris Getz, but I like what he's done. I think he's really smart. I think he got dealt a really crappy hand acquiring the White Sox in the state that they were. I think it's weird that he keeps referring to Luis Angel as a switch hitter, but I don't know.
A switch hitter. You acquired a player. Like, dude, read like Baseball Reference. You acquired a player, you got to go on the air and sell that player to your fan base.
Yeah.
And you keep getting it wrong. Wait, like, where'd you come up with that?
What'd maybe he's learning. Maybe this is something that's in the works and he just keeps saying it because it's happening.
Right. Right. They're going to try to convert him into a switcher. There were times in my life I have dreamt that things have happened.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember this because this is going back years ago, but Warren Moon was a famous quarterback in the NFL. For some reason, and I think it was because I used to play a Nintendo game that involved Warren Moon, Tecmo Super Bowl. I loved him and the Oilers. So one night I remember having a dream that he was on the Falcons, the team that I grew up rooting for. Yes. And instead of me waking up and realizing, like, oh, that was a dream, it felt so real that just from then on, like, I was like, oh, well, Warren Moon played with the Falcons. This is when I was young, like 10 or 11. So I dreamt it into my mind's reality. Maybe gets dreamt during the trade, like he's really stressed about it, so he's thinking about it, that he was a switch hitter, and then it just like, in his mind, even though it was a dream, he thought it was reality. And that's the only explanation I have, otherwise it doesn't make any sense.
Wait, are you telling me that you dream things that actually happen?
No, I dream things that didn't happen that I then believe that they did because I dreamt it.
Oh, because it felt so real?
Yes, only a few things.
Oh.
Like that Warren Moon example. Scary? Was one where like somebody brought it up and I was like, wait a second. Yeah, you're right. He never played for the Falcons. What the hell was I talking about? But because of that dream, it felt so real. So I think Chris Getz had a dream that Acuna was a switch hitter.
You got to take less melatonin, okay? A little less on the melatonin.
Well, sometimes I need it. The Tums and the melatonin. All right. Valentine's Day, Saturday. You have any big plans for Valentine's Day? What? You asked me?
What do you think my plans are?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Do you even make a big deal about Valentine's Day? What?
Is Saturday Valentine's Day?
Yes, Saturday is Valentine's Day. Let me look at the calendar. Yes.
I'll be consuming adult beverages on Saturday.
There you go. All right. That's a nice start. I mean, for me,
yeah. What do you ask?
You asked me, what are you doing about it? I'm like, I'm married. I'm married with a kid. I'm taking the dog to get washed. I'm taking my car to get serviced. I ain't doing anything. Although, I will say this is the best part about Valentine's Day.
Tell
as
me.
A dad. So like, it's not about my wife anymore.
Adorable. Like, well,
I'm just saying,
back.
Like, I'm being honest. It's about,
well, it's still got to be about your wife. But of course, your gorgeous daughter gets lots of love and attention. Actually, there's a photo of me and my dad from like a Valentine's dance. That's like so special to me that we went to when I was a kid. But no, Sal, I think that, you know, that I do not.
I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't have a Valentine right now. I don't have a Valentine.
I think people are interested. I'm sure that your DMs have been inundated with.
You know what we should do one day? We should just read my DMs. That's what we should do. We should just go through my DMs.
I would love to do that. If the next time you come on.
Yeah.
If you want to read some, I know some probably can't make air, even though it's a podcast and there are no.
Yeah. Quit being weird, please. Being weird in my DMs.
Do you know even I get that? Not. Oh, I don't get weird. I don't get weird DMs about me. I get when I go out sometimes and like if people recognize me or whatever from at events. Hey, how's Danny? Oh, I love her on the show. I swear to God. What's Danny's deal? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you know? And if it were somebody,
what do you tell him? What do you tell him?
It depends on who's asking. If it were somebody that I thought were a viable option, then maybe I would tell them something different. But most of them like, oh, yeah, no, I love Danny. She's the best. And then I kind of just ignore their borderline inappropriate comments. But I don't even know how to say, like, I can't put myself in that perspective, but I do feel bad for you and other females who just get gawked at and the absurd, weird freaking DMs. Just because of how you would look.
We could do a whole episode on it. We really could. Yeah. It's, you know what? I have a public profile, but it's okay if people aren't weird or demeaning or talk about my body or say really gross things to me. You don't have to do it. It is a choice to do that.
Right. But like,
it's a choice. Yeah.
But I've seen some of you guys too talking about like, oh, like, I never think about this stuff. I get up. I put on my pants, I put on my shoes, whatever shirt is clean, I throw it on. And I know a lot of thought will go into it, what you're wearing, because maybe somebody's going to say, oh, well, I could see your toes or your feet or your legs or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
yes.
Like, this is a thing?
SNY, oh my God, don't even get me started how lucky I feel to work there and spend the last 4 years sitting next to you on those shows. But, you know, they'll do specific camera cuts for me so that there's an angle, because people will take screenshots of your body and post them on the internet. And there are threads about not just my body, but literally any woman who is on television. People will just post pictures of our bodies. And so people can comment on our bodies. And in my head, Sal, I'm like, I know that you were birthed by a woman. I don't know if you would do that to that woman. I'm sure you probably are married, maybe, or not, because you're weird. And also, maybe you have a daughter. And I don't think you would enjoy or appreciate people doing that about your family. So why do you do that about me? It's weird. Don't do
it. I would think most of those people are not married or do not have a daughter. Mm. You think so, huh? Oh, I don't know.
Well, right. I don't know. You don't do that. And anybody who's in my inner circle, like, wouldn't even come close to doing that. So I'm lucky to have good people in my corner.
Well, we appreciate that. And I love being your friend and would obviously stick up for you in any of those situations. And I didn't know how much you would want to get into on a podcast or whatever about some of that stuff. But
you could get into it one day.
Yeah. I think it would be eye-opening for a lot of people on the outside who just consume Baseball Night in New York or going to watch you on the sidelines or the hosting with the Cardinals or listen to a podcast. I think it'd be eye-opening with some of the stories that you would have to share with some of that stuff. All right, let's stay on the theme of Valentine's Day. Did you see this Olympic story? Only a couple more, ooh, then we'll let you go.
Yes. Yes.
So this dude wins a bronze. Like, if it's me, like... Bro, you won the bronze medal. Like, you think I'm getting back with you after a bronze? At least get a gold. So he wins a bronze medal and then professes that he's heartbroken because the girl that he was dating for 3 months, he cheated on and she left him. What would you make of this story from the female perspective here?
Oh, my God. I would be so embarrassed. I would be so embarrassed. It's immediate ick. Immediate ick. You took the opportunity on global television to talk about our relationship. He cheated on her, right? That was the story. He cheated on her. And so now he's trying to make it look like he's this hero and he's this great guy because he's going to go on global TV after he gets a bronze. And great point. Like, you got a bronze, my guy. And you think that you're going to woo her back and she's going to be like, oh, you're so right. It's completely fine. You cheated on me. You love me. You talked about me on TV and let's get back together. Hell no. Absolutely not. Blocked. Do not contact me. Do not reach out to me. It's a no contact from here on out. Absolutely not, my guy. That is so crazy.
I think she deserves a gold medal for leaving him, having the courage to leave him. Hey, you cheated on me, you knucklehead. I'm out. That's it. Because I've seen a lot of times before where people get cheated on, whatever, they'll stay together.
Yeah.
Good for her to bail on him. This guy is so pathetic. He wins a medal. And again, I would, like, if I won the bronze, I'd be like, here, take this back, man. Third place is not good enough. Like, I don't want bronze medal. And this guy's out there like professing his love for a 3-month-old relationship. Suck it up,
horrible.
Move on, you loser. Good
I feel
God.
So bad. I feel so bad for that woman. And I'm like, he thinks that it's okay to cheat and then say that. Like, try harder. Try something else. That's so lazy and inconsiderate. And that is loser behavior.
God, and now he's got to live with this. Like, that's another mistake. He probably will never get it, but he makes the mistake cheating on the girl that he loves.
He gets a bronze.
Yeah, then he wins a bronze medal. Like, we could minimize all we want, and I would, but, like, still, for him, it's got to be some kind of accomplishment. And then he ruins that accomplishment by making it about the girl that he cheated on that's never going to come back to him. You idiot.
So bad. So bad. I hated it. I felt for her so bad. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, so when do you get started here with everything? When are you picking up and – now, you're not leaving New York, but when are you starting to – are you going out of spring training with St. Louis?
Actually, I don't think you know this, Sal. I don't think I've told you this yet. I haven't told many people. So I'll get on to spring training for them the 20th through the 23rd. Our first spring training game is the 23rd, so that'll be my first time working for them. And then I've got 3 spring training tours for SiriusXM. I'll go down, do camps, and then – I haven't told you this. I'm nervous now. I'm going to Tokyo for the World Baseball Classic. Have I told you this?
You did. Now.
Oh, I did. Okay. Yeah. Shoot. Okay. I forgot I told you.
You did tell me that. And then
when did I tell you this?
I remember we went to that party, Hirsch Leatherwood.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I did tell you?
Yes. You mentioned that night, the
what
World
was
Baseball
your reaction?
Classic. I was excited for you. Okay. I wouldn't do it, but I'm excited for you. going to Tokyo. So now how are you going to manage? First of all, where is the Cardinals spring training?
They're in Jupiter, Florida. And you want to know something crazy, Sal, is that growing up as a kid, I played a softball tournament down in Jupiter. And like, obviously the connections between St. Louis, because the Cardinals have been there for forever. I've spent a lot of time in Jupiter. So down in Jupiter, Florida, which is great. They have a great complex. They upgraded it too. It's awesome.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. And then how far is that? Is that like near Port St. Lucie? I don't know my Florida.
No, it's near like West Palm Beach.
West Palm Beach. Okay.
That's like the closest airport. Yeah. Okay. West Palm Beach is the airport there.
So Jupiter, Florida. So you'll be there for a little bit. Then you're doing your tour with the base, with the MLB Network radio stuff. Yeah. Then you're going, how long are you going to Tokyo for?
I'll be there for 12 days, 10 days. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll be there for the whole pool of Tokyo. And so until they are finished and they advance a winner to the next round, I'll be there. And then I'll come back. I'll do another spring training game for the Cardinals. And then a week later, it's opening day.
You're going to be nonstop.
You have the full schedule. I haven't shared that schedule anywhere. So. All right.
Bada booms, make sure you cut that and get that to awful announcing or for the people who care about this stuff. Breaking news with Danny Wexler giving us our schedule.
Sure.
Well, I know you got to go do the radio show. I appreciate the time here. This was very fun having you on the podcast for the first time. Love to do it again. Love to do it more often whenever you're available. Hopefully your new schedule allows. Congrats again. I wish we could have you more at SNY. Obviously, I know we're going to have you a little bit less, but still happy that you're going to be a part of SNY even after getting your dream job with the Cardinals hosting and sideline reporting during the season.
Okay, well, let me embarrass you for a quick second here because first of all, I'm honored to be here and you are like a pillar of busting your butt to get your dreams and to make things come true in the hardest city to do it. By the way, this city is ruthless, relentless, doesn't care if you get laid off, doesn't care if you have a bad day. Like, it just keeps moving here. I've been let go twice in jobs while I've been in New York. I worked through the pandemic and lost my work. You have also run the gamut of things. And then you keep showing up and you're still the Energizer Bunny and you're still a great friend. And you have been like the most incredible support to me. And I'm obviously not going anywhere because you have been loyal to me and supported me and put me in positions to succeed and to be seen. And that is the whole point of all of this, is to raise your friends up. And you have been that and more to me. And I literally love getting to sit next to you on that set and have fun and talk ball and get into arguments. And because we both love the sport so much. So I'm so thankful for you in my life. Truly, I am. Like, I will miss that regularly. But as you said, I'm not gone forever.
No, you're not gone forever, thankfully, because you do make me better when you're on the show. And we love having you. And thank you for that. And yes, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, I got fired. It's all right. It happens. Live my dream, work the way up to get to FAN, only to have it taken from you to get fired.
There's big things coming. There's big things coming for you. I know it.
I think I'll be okay. All right, Danny. Thank you very much. And you're an inspiration because you landed on your feet as well. So that's nice to see.
We did it. We did it, Sally.
You did it. And you should be proud of yourself. All right, Danny. Thank you very much. We appreciate you checking in. All right. There you have it. Danny Wexelman, one of my favorite people in the business and just really in life. She's what I call an elevator. When you're around her, you get elevated. She makes me better when she's on the show with us. Fun to talk to and hang out with, whether you're at a party, whether you're in the newsroom, at work, whatever it may be. She is a true elevator. We loved having her on. All right, before we wrap up, Bada Booms, I want to bring you back in here for a second because I have an issue with you from something that you did yesterday. So we did the WFAN 6 with Sal, like pick our favorite shows, right? Is your mic on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you think of Danny, by the way?
That was great. I'm happy you asked me because you're talking about how well, I hope everything downloaded there. I'm pretty sure. I know she left, but we should be good. You're talking about how guys are creepy and stuff in the DMs. Didn't we just do a whole segment where you were being creepy towards a celebrity in the DMs?
I wasn't being creepy. I just told you I shot my shot with Nia Long, not to get with her, but
happy Valentine's Day, guys, from Sal and his family. Oh, yeah, by the way, he shot a DM to
I'm going to read exactly what I said. Miss Nia Long, so great to meet you. I met her. She asked for an internship for her son. I said I never dreamt I'd run any one day. I was starstruck. If your son wants an internship, please let me know. I'll be able to help. Thanks for being so kind. That's it. That's not a creepy like, oh, I saw your ankles on set. They look tremendous. Oof. I mean, anyway,
that's just odd. That's odd.
So, but that's what people get. So we get a we did the 6 with Sal, WFAN, all-time shows yesterday. And there's been some nice response to that. People are going to give their opinion. That's fine. Ripping me, ripping you, whatever it may be. But I have an issue with you. Why did you put Craig on the, what do you call it, the thumbnail? Why did you put Craig on the thumbnail and not Mike?
You know what? That's a good point. See, I used Mike on something else, but I just feel like...
thumbnail you used was Craigie.
Yeah. You know, I think that will elicit some emotion. That's why I did that.
What about Mike?
I didn't think about Mike, but the thing is...
At the very least, Mike and others. Like, I'm not saying you can't have Craigie on there, but I noticed it was Craigie and whoever else we were talking about.
Castellanos.
On the thumbnail, usually you put a couple of characters on the thumbnail. You couldn't put, like, a bunch of guys from the fan. You had to put... You couldn't even put me and BT on there. Like, that could have drawn me, BT, Craigie. Like, that would have done something. Mike on there. You just put Craigie. What the hell is that?
It's not the Muppet Show. I'm not going to put every single character on there. Right. I was just thinking, like, out of all these people, right, what's going to elicit the best emotion? Now, at first, when you brought that up there, I thought you were going to say, why did you put Craig? And I'm going to say, Sal, it's called a draw. You familiar with what a draw is?
I understand that. No, but you could have had Craigie and Mike or just Mike. He's a draw as well.
If you look at the YouTube short form version of that, for people who just want to watch that segment, by the way, now up on the Salakot YouTube show, if you want to hear what we did yesterday, it is an array of characters. It is more Muppet Show.
I did see that. That's the right way to do that.
A lot of Muppet talk the last 2 days. We said Roberts.
Have you seen the, and I love the Muppets. Like, you're speaking my language. As a matter of fact, here's a little inside podcast. The Salakata Show podcast logo is inspired by the Muppets. When I had my guy create that, I said, I want my head coming out of the O in show like Kermit.
You had somebody create that for you?
Yeah. What do you think, I did it on my own?
Hopefully he got compensated fairly.
I offered. They did it out of the kindness of their heart.
Oh, that was very kind. Well, no offense to that person. I did doll it up, if you noticed.
No, I did. I don't want you touching it.
No, I dolled it up. If the original logo is not the same.
It better be the same. Well, I know you
have No. Sal, we're 21 episodes in now. We've got the logo.
Yeah, I've got to look at it in comparison to what I had originally.
You didn't realize that?
No, I didn't.
I made it more.
You take things in your own hands. You should be following my orders and direction. What are you doing?
Do you not like how it looks?
I thought it looked the same, so I clearly didn't notice it.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, maybe that's a good thing.
Have you seen the 50th anniversary of the Muppet Show? There's a new episode available right now.
No, but I don't want to say I'm a Muppet guy because I don't want to be compared to a Muppet. You got a little bit of Muppet to you.
Yeah, I love the Muppets. What are you kidding me? Kermit's an inspiration.
Yeah, look at that. Look, do you have a Kermit impression?
My Kermit the Frog.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, that's what I always...
I do Kermit voice. This is my aunt gave me this many years ago, my pen holder, Kermit the Frog mug right there. I love the Kermits. My daughter's into it. I got her into it. I'll do the Kermit and Fozzie puppet for bedtime. She wants Kermit to read the book or Fozzie to read the book. I go back and forth. Yeah. Put it this way. My Muppet impressions are better than your Beningo impression. That's
Oh, bro. What are you telling me this green guy over here? No, are you serious?
It's over. You got to retire it.
I'll never retire it.
You have to. Unless you can perfect it. First of all, Gio does the best Beningo there. I think I could even do one that's better than yours. But I don't even do it because Gio has mastered that, so I just feel like
Just do it. Let's see if it's better than mine.
No, I'm not doing it. Yours is not good. I'm sorry. You did that during the bit. Yes, it's not very good.
That's so heartbreaking. Honestly, that's the most offensive thing you told me.
Did you think it was good?
I get pops for it. I get pops for it often.
I mean, is it the worst that I've ever heard? No, but when you're like, you got to remember, I'm coming from the big leagues. I may have been kicked out of the big leagues for now, but I'm like, I was working with Gio. He was doing that impression, and now you're trying to do one. It feels like a knockoff. It's like you're the Times Square Elmo. Like, I'm in Times Square when I'm working with you. That's the impressions that I'm getting now. I'm in the big leagues. I'm in Sesame Street with Gio doing the right impressions with you. It's Times Square impressions. You know what I'm saying?
If you're coming from the big leagues, this is Eastbound and Down. That's what this show is.
All right, Bada Booms. Have a good weekend. We appreciate your help. Thanks, everybody that listened. 21 episodes. We're moving right along here. It's been about a month. We have some special stuff for you next week and the following weeks as well as we get closer to the baseball season, NFL draft, a bunch of stuff that we have planned. Live watches, and we'll definitely try to go live once a week. I just got to pick the right night and have to make my schedule, get that scheduled so then we can do it consistently. One night a week we'll go live, get Q&As, all those different things. Download, rate, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. smash that like button. Is that enough enthusiasm? We appreciate it. We'll see you later.